Now, more Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack and Scott, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Spent a lot of time yesterday talking about Michigan, Michigan State. We're not going to do that today. It was a special show yesterday, special installment of the Jack and Tom show on Ebling and You. But I did want to mention a good friend, Jim Van Acker, has been to 55 Michigan State, Michigan games and had plans to go to number 56. I just found out this afternoon that Dean Trailway's ticket allotment has been shorted, and the number of people who thought they were going are not going to be. And he's desperately looking for tickets. So imagine there'll be a lot of people out there who are looking for tickets to this game, but he has a rather unusual situation. And he'll be calling us, I'm sure, on Saturday morning. I want to bring in our next guest, Kyle Malin, the editor of MERS Newsletter and columnist for City Pulse. Hello, Kyle.
Hey, how you doing, Jack?
It's hard to imagine seeing 56 of anything, much less Michigan, Michigan State games, but that's what some people have done.
Well, I hope I live to see 56 Michigan, Michigan State games, as long as it means more victories for State than Michigan.
Well, you know, we talk about victories. I want to talk about an endorsement here. And I don't know whether this will have anything to do with the victory, but a guy who's about as maize and blue as you can get, and I have as much admiration for him as I've had for just about anyone in Congress and in public life, and that is a former state representative and longtime congressman, Joe Schwartz of Battle Creek. And he's out with an endorsement this afternoon. Maybe not a surprise to everyone, but for the second straight election, former Republican is endorsing Mark Schauer over Tim Walberg. Does that surprise you in any way?
No, I think he's been hinting that. If he hasn't already said it before, I think he's been hinting in that direction. I know that he is not on the same page with Tim Walberg. I think he feels like Tim Walberg is a bit of a puppet for the Right to Life and the pro-life movement and Club for Growth, which he's clashed with before. And, you know, Tim Walberg's the one who unseated him for Congress.
In the primary.
I mean, there's no real love lost here. So,
right.
No, it doesn't surprise me at all. It would have surprised me if he hadn't endorsed Schauer.
Yeah, I did not expect him to endorse Tim Walberg, but I didn't know if he was going to back Mark Schauer again, and that's indeed what he has done this afternoon. What endorsements really matter to you, as so many of them come out, and most of them are very predictable this time of year?
Yeah, they are. Because the ones that seem to have a lot of impact, I think NRA, the Right to Life, Planned Parenthood, these types of endorsements are endorsements that have a lot of impact, I think, in the primary election, where these groups have a substantial base. I think when you're talking about the unions also, UAW, MEA, I mean, they carry a lot of sway with people who belong to them. And if they're a substantial organization, I think that they can mean quite a bit. And also, I think people who, I guess, have a solid reputation, like let's say a Joe Schwartz, I'm not going to say it's going to decide the election for Mark Schauer. But there may be some folks out there who are on the fence, and the endorsement of somebody like Joe Schwartz, who is an independent and is not afraid to say it, it could have some sway. But by and large, I can't believe it's really going to impact the results of an election.
Our guest, Kyle Malin, editor of MERS Newsletter and columnist with City Pulse. Kyle, I normally associate Chambers of Commerce with Republican candidates. I think that normally that's where you find their support going. Not always. And not in this election, not in this race in the 7th District, where the Detroit and Marshall Chambers of Commerce have endorsed Mark Schauer, and the Lansing Chamber of Commerce has decided to stay out of this one.
Yeah, with Chambers of Commerce, sometimes the right pick for them is to pick the incumbent. If Schauer was entering this as the Democratic challenger, mm-hmm. as he was 2 years ago, it may be a little different. But for a group like the Detroit Chamber of Commerce, they do like to be nonpartisan. And they make no bones about it. And so I think if there's a question out there, I think they will side with the incumbent. And also keep in mind, though, you know, it's good to have working relationships with Democrats. And so for a Chamber of Commerce to want to reach out and kind of broaden their scope, I don't think is terribly unusual. I mean, for the Michigan Chamber of Commerce, it would be unusual, but for a regional chamber of commerce, it may not be a bad idea, depending on who some of your congressmen or women are in your particular area.
It's interesting, Kyle, because I spoke with someone in Battle Creek who said that Mark Schauer has voted pretty much with the Democratic line on most of the major issues. However, he has been about as pro-business as any Democrat could be in that district. As small business interests himself, and they really felt that his constituent relations had separated him.
You know, constituent relations matters a lot. I think that's part of the reason why we've had Mike Rogers in Congress representing the Lansing area for so long.
Yes.
I mean, people rave about his constituent relations.
Tremendous.
I think Carl Levin is the same way. People think Carl Levin's office is very, very good. By comparison, Spence Abraham, back in 2000, you can argue that his constituent relations wasn't as good as some of the others, and that was one of the reasons why he lost. You can't underestimate it because, you know, when a person calls their congressman or their senator, I mean, they want some action. They have a problem, and they want something solved. They just don't want a form letter 2 months later.
Right.
They'd really like the situation taken care of, and if they're satisfied by what they get, I mean, it's almost like a business in that you're providing a customer service.
Right.
You're helping them with their Medicaid check or their or a licensing or something of that nature. And, you know, it speaks volumes, and there's a lot of talk between people. And that's, you know, that word travels fast. If somebody's not good on the phone handling a constituent complaint, that gets around quickly.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned Mike Rogers, Kyle, because I've had more than one person tell me that they have had those problems. They have called the office, and they have gotten help. Maybe they haven't exactly gotten what they've wanted to fix their problem, but they've always felt that someone was listening.
Yeah, yeah, and that's important. That's important. That matters a lot to voters. You know, especially in Michigan or, you know, in the Schauer race there or Mike Rogers here in the 8th District, where it's not an overwhelming majority for one party or the other. I mean, these are both swing districts, really. I mean, they could be. A Democrat could hold this seat. A Republican traditionally has held the 7th Congressional District. It can be a very important factor in whether an incumbent gets reelected or not.
Well, a seat like this might have a lot to do with who controls Congress. I imagine if you play this out in a handful of states, it may come down to that margin.
Yeah, it could. You know, I think the 7th District is kind of an interesting case here. I know that nationally they're looking at this as one of the top races for Republicans to get a pickup from an incumbent, you know. And I think that if you're just looking at it from the outside, you would think that with the Republican swing going on right now in Congress, it would be almost a gimme for Tim Walver. He's represented the seat before.
Right.
But I tell you what, Mark Schauer is one heck of a political campaigner. Face to face, when you meet him the first time, he's extremely likable.
Yeah.
He gets around a heck of a lot. It's just hard to beat him as far as constituent one-on-one contact, whereas Tim Walberg doesn't necessarily have that reputation. He can come across as a little prickly sometimes, and he's a bit more, I don't know if ideological is the right word, but you know, he's kind of set in his ways a little bit. And that's why I think this new ad that Tim Walberg has out, I don't know if you've seen it yet.
With his mother?
Not his mother. It's with a little girl, and they're putting coins into a glass jar.
No, I haven't seen
it. And somebody comes and takes the glass jar from the girl, and Tim Walberg comes in and says, well, that's Washington taking away your money. But it's very cute because I think it shows Walberg being a little endearing and shows a bit of a personal side to him, which is something I think that he's missed in the past. He's always just, I guess the persona of him has always just been a little too prickly.
Yeah.
I think that softened his image quite a bit, and if they can get that kind of play out there and get that image out there, it will help him quite a bit. Right now, the polls are showing this race dead even, and I suspect they're going to stay dead even right up to November 2.
Yeah, I wonder if you'll have some counter ad buys where there's a little girl and Mark Schauer walks in and she says, that's China coming in to take your jobs.
Yeah, I mean that will probably be played into it, too. I think we've talked, you know, before, too, how interesting this race has become in that Wahlberg is comparing Schauer to Obama. Schauer equals Obama Pelosi, and then Schauer's coming back and saying Wahlberg equals the proven failed policies of George W. Bush. You know, it's kind of a referendum on what administration did you like better. I think we've talked about that before. And I think that plays to a certain extent. But again, it's important for both of these candidates to, you know, show their personal side and show that they're just likable people. When it comes right down to it, people vote for people that they like, by and large.
Yeah. Last question, and I would be remiss if we didn't talk about it since we spent so much time talking about it when we didn't know it was going to happen. We've got a debate.
Yeah. And it's great. I mean, I think that was great that Rick Snyder was able to reopen negotiations and agree to hold one debate with Virg Mayo. You know, one debate is better than none. You know, I think three debates are probably better. But, you know, it gives people an opportunity to at least see what Rick Snyder's like in that kind of atmosphere. And I tell you, you know, we heard a lot of people talk about, well, why do we even need debates? I mean, well, you know, when you're a politician, you debate every day. I mean, that's really what you're doing. I mean, you're trying to convince people to a particular point of view. You're trying to be a leader. And that's why I think it's important, especially in the governor's race, that our next governor, whoever it is able to articulate a point and be persuasive with that point.
Right.
Because he's going to have to advance an agenda. And whether it's Rick Snyder or Virg Bonero, they're going to have to be able to do that. We know Virg Bonero can debate. We know that he can sell his point. We don't know if Rick Snyder can, and we'd like to see that on the stage before us, I think, before we go and cast our votes.
Yeah, and it's a different kind of debate. There isn't going to be a lot of direct exchange, so maybe that format works in Rick Snyder's benefit. Kyle, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
All right, sounds good. My pleasure, Jack.